What would you do to save someone when it felt like all hope was gone? Could years of pain and anguish lead to extreme hauntings? How would you move bodies in the dead of night? Today, we test the believability of the Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual.
I tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. I hope you're having a great Tuesday. I did something unusual just now because of something we did like 5 minutes ago. I just thought about people hearing this, and I normally don't do that when we record. It's like, I really try and pretend like it's just me and Charlie talking.
Yeah, well, it's easier when it's just us in the attic, like there's never anybody
sometimes,
watching us.
Sometimes there's a cat. Sometimes it's a black cat that freaks me out during a Ouija board episode, but they're not here anymore. But I'm very, very aware right now that other people are going to hear this in my head, and I don't like it.
Well, it's because we just looked at the numbers and stuff, and it's like, oh, that's a small town.
But in good news, Charlie does have his chocolate milk. For those of you on Patreon that have been wondering if that's going to happen or not, he's got his chocolate milk, yeah. One of them. Got one on layaway.
I can feel it in my throat. I think we can all hear it right now.
I know the mucus.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yes. But yeah, let's dive into this. It's been a minute since we've done a haunting the outside of listener submission.
Yeah. We were looking back. It's October.
It's just like the Phoenix Lights. We were like, when was the last time we did an alien episode? It's like only doing one episode a week. It makes it, you know, like when you get through a month, it's only four episodes and you try to mix up topics. And next thing you know, it's been like 3 months since you did something.
Exactly.
Which is good. I think people like variety. Just to make this one episode incredibly rare due to unforeseen circumstances, probably won't have another Baker Mayfield episode, which is such a bummer.
Yeah.
Hopefully we never have a Deshaun Watson episode.
I don't think we will. I'm not going to do it.
No, I mean, hopefully we don't have to definitely nothing bad enough beyond what's already happens.
I see.
To be an episode. But anyways, let's get into this Waverly Hills Sanatorium. What is it exactly?
I don't know.
It is considered one of the most haunted places in the world, with multiple ghosts known to roam the halls.
Really?
Yeah. And with that,
I've never heard of this place.
I always feel bad because somebody told me to do this episode over Instagram, and I'm so sorry. This was like months ago, so I can't remember who you are, but if you're listening, know that you were the catalyst to why this episode exists, because you told me about it, and I wrote it in my notes, and actually it was voted on by Patreon.
Yes, that's true.
But still, the reason it was in that poll is because you told me on Instagram. So hit me up again and be like, hey, it was me, and I'll give you a shout out in the next episode. Anyway, let's move on to your favorite part of this episode, the history.
Hell yeah.
Do you know what state? Do you have a guess? Waverly Hills Sanatorium. Do you have a guess?
I'm of two minds. I'm going to guess somewhere old. Maybe Connecticut?
Not Newton, Connecticut. It's old Connecticut.
Yeah. Connecticut or... Can I take another guess?
Yeah. Hopefully this one's right.
Yeah, I guess it's not Connecticut. Colorado.
Okay. I could see why it feels Waverly Hills Sanatorium. It feels like both of those. Actually, it does feel like Connecticut a lot. It's actually Kentucky.
Whoa, really?
Southwestern Jefferson County. Now, the city it's in, there's two ways to say this, and I don't know which way they say it, and I feel like no matter what, I lose.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Appalachia?
Louisville or Louisville? There's two options.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah, Kentucky. Is it Louisville?
My aunt lives out of there.
Is it Louisville?
Yeah.
It's not Louisville.
No, it's Louisville.
All right, Louisville.
That's... I took a Louisville slugger to both headlights.
Oh, okay. Is she from Kentucky?
No, but that's the bat, the Louisville slugger.
Oh, from Kentucky.
Yeah. Yes.
That's my wife's favorite karaoke song.
I took a Louisville slugger to both headlights.
Yeah.
I can't remember the rest of the line.
The car did car, nothing. The truck did nothing wrong in this song.
She destroyed that car.
The truck did nothing.
She keyed it.
That's, you know, yeah, so the dude messes up, dude cheats, yeah. And the car is the one that gets it? She's like, hey, you need a ride somewhere, Carrie? Hey, what are you doing? Hey, what the hell?
Oh, no. I really like that image.
Anyway, so the area, Waverly Hills, was actually a school area, like, because it is on a legitimate hill. It used to be a school.
Okay.
But then in 1910, it turned into a two-story hospital due to the severe outbreak of tuberculosis.
Oh.
So two things before I move on. One, what is a sanatorium? Because I know some of you are asking, what is a sanatorium?
I don't know.
It is a medical facility that specializes in the housing and treating of folks with long-term illnesses. So it's not like you come in, you check out like in a day or two, pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And it doesn't matter if you live or die anyways, because you spend so much money at that facility, you want to kill yourself anyway.
Right. Didn't we touch on sanatoriums when we talked about Ohio State?
Probably. It was a mental asylum.
You're right.
There's like a darkness to this because they experiment to try and help people, but it's not mental. They were here because of tuberculosis.
I see. Okay.
And this was a really, so people stayed here. This was like you come in and you stay, and if you get better, you leave. Not okay. Like we're going to try it for a week, and if not, bye. It was really big before the discovery of antibiotics. I don't know if that's discovery. Is that discovery?
It was discovered.
It wasn't created. In a laboratory? The end of a Resident Evil game?
Yeah, it's funny. I know how it happened.
Yeah.
It was an accident.
A cat was on there and knocked over something. It spilled, it mixed. They took it.
It's the real story is almost as haphazard as that. A scientist left out a piece of bread and they discovered it on the bread from the mold.
Really?
Yeah.
So antibiotics are not keto?
Nope. I guess not.
But yeah, so people went here before antibiotics. They assumed that good nutrition and rest away from other folks would kind of help the immune system. That's basically what they tried to do. It was like help the body relax and help the immune system defeat tuberculosis.
Only is how that works.
Nope. And number two, what is tuberculosis? Which, it's flowing off the tongue really well now, and I hope that remains for the rest of the episode.
I know we talked about this during Vampire Mercy Brown.
Yeah. Tuberculosis is a bacterial disease that generally affects a person's lungs, but it can also affect other parts of the body. Common symptoms, in case you're curious if you have tuberculosis, include fever, coughing with blood, drastic weight loss, that wouldn't be terrible, and night sweats. This is why I know we did it in Mercy Brown, because it was called consumption.
Yep.
And I asked you, like, the hell is consumption? Can travel from one person to the next through the air, spitting, vomiting, biting people's necks, turning them into vampires. Also known as consumption and the white plague. You know what's crazy, though?
What's that?
I saw a report when I was looking up, because I went to a different site away from Waverly Hills about tuberculosis for that information. And I saw multiple reports that were saying that it was actually the second leading cause of death from an infection behind COVID in 2020.
Yeah, it's still crazy bad.
Yep. You know what? Just to say myself, it's also called TB.
Yep.
We're going to call it TB.
TB, consumption.
Yeah, I'm on too good of a roll with tuberculosis.
TB. So I believe that's why I refer to it as well, TB. Yeah, it's just easier.
From here on out, when I refer to this illness, it's going to be TB. And are we good? So now we're caught up on what a sanatorium is. We know about illnesses.
Got a reminder about the TB.
Yeah. Go back to listen to Mercy Brown. I think that was November of 2020.
I think you're right, actually.
I think it was November 2020. I could be wrong, but it was a while ago. That was the chicken nugget graphic.
Yes.
I don't know why. I actually don't remember why that happened, but I remember making that graphic. Anyway, back to Waverly Hills. So Waverly Hills Sanatorium opened in July of 1910, and over the years, it ended up housing thousands of people that were suffering from TB. And it kept growing. Like, every year they were expanding on it, to making it bigger and bigger and bigger. It was known to hold up to about 400 people at one time. Okay. And I don't know if this is true or not. This seems kind of like speculation. But the widespread outbreak of TB in this area is thought due to the wetlands around the Ohio River.
Hmm.
Which I guess is a great place for bacteria to chill.
I guess that makes sense. Sure.
So, there was a city hospital in the area. And it was being created. Like, they had an old city hospital. They wanted to make a new city hospital, but they didn't want to include TB patients because they didn't want it to spread to all the other injured and sick patients that didn't have TB and weren't suffering from it. So the Board of Tuberculosis Hospital was given $25,000 to build a hospital specifically for folks suffering from TB. And that is kind of why it came to exist. This is one thing I thought was pretty interesting about Waverly Hills. it was kind of like its own community because they didn't want people to leave and infect other people. Like they had their own vegetation, they had their own farming, they had livestock. They wanted to make it almost as self-reliant as possible.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Which is great for horror, because isolation, right?
Yes.
But, and this is kind of crazy, I read that they tried to keep the nurses and the doctors pretty isolated too. Like, when you went there to work, they didn't like you leaving very often. Like, you had very limited time where you could leave and have time with friends or family. Like, they wanted you there and not leaving there with your patients the majority of the time.
Sounds like the American workforce.
Some of the expansions included a children's pavilion, which is sad to think about, but also like vast open areas, because like I said, with it being a lung infection, they were all about trying to help the immune system fight it. So they would just take people outside and like let them just breathe free, fresh air, and hope that that air would go in the lungs and it would be good.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the case.
No.
I'll get into some of the more other things they did in just a few minutes. But just to kind of wrap up the history of it, it lasts about 50 years. It was shut down in 1961 because of, like we said, antibiotics. Thankfully, that reduced the need for a hospital like Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
It was estimated that about 10,000 to 20,000 people died at Waverly Hills in those 50 years.
How many?
10 to 20,000.
Wow.
Now, I saw reports that said 6,000. I saw the one that said 50,000. I don't think that's true. 10 to 20 seemed like the better range that I found.
Okay, I'll ask a question.
Yeah.
Why don't we know the exact number?
Yeah, right? Isn't that kind of creepy in itself?
Yeah.
That there's no, like, medical documentation?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to how they treated people that passed away.
Okay.
There, in a minute. Because they were treated to experimental surgeries, electroshock therapy.
How could electric shock therapy help your lungs?
I don't know.
Besides opening up your vocal cords to scream.
Maybe it was just trying to fix the body. Okay, one thing I saw that they did was they would take heavy sandbags and they place it on your chest.
Oh.
And the idea was that it would make your lungs, it was like working out, right?
Oh,
You work out, you lift heavy weights to strengthen your muscles. So they were like, we're going to put these sandbags on your lungs to build up your lungs' strength.
Oh, I think that's the stupidest f***ing idea I've ever heard.
Weight training for your lungs.
That's like the dude who died in The Crucible.
Oh, more weight.
Yeah, more weight.
Yeah. P90X for your lungs. TB90X. So one procedure they would perform involved having infected parts of your lung and sometimes the entire lungs surgically removed. Other times they removed several rib bones from the chest, which would then cause the lung to collapse.
Wait, okay, so if they take out your lungs, isn't that just like, you know, murder?
Well, you take one out, and you got one that's like still doing work, still kicking.
I mean, our friend only has a lung and a half.
Yeah, and he's fine.
Yeah.
Because of, one, the illness, and two, some of the treatments, we'll call them, that was happening there. Now, I'm sure there were people that legitimately cared there. I'm not saying every doctor or nurse there was evil. It felt like very archaic and rudimentary treatments that weren't well thought out, but I think there's just kind of a level of desperation. It was like the idea of like, it was almost like a death sentence to go to Waverly Hills Sanatorium. It was like, let's do everything possible to save these people, even if, you know, or like hurting one person might save thousands more.
Let's try a treatment where if I take this hammer and smash them in the head, maybe they'll be getting over their TB.
That was the first treatment that had a success rate of zero. Yeah. So this next thing I'm talking about here is probably one of the biggest things about Waverly Hills Sanatorium. I think if you search it, this is probably one of the most popular things found, and it relates to how they dealt with the dead bodies. So this is called the body chute.
Oh, it's not a good title.
Right. So there's an underground tunnel that goes from Waverly Hills, like the main entrance, to the bottom of the hill, which is about like 500 feet down. Now, originally, the tunnel was used to receive supplies, especially in the winter. So with the snow and everything, it was tough for people to get up there and get supplies. Because remember, they're trying to be self-reliant, but you know, you can't do everything. You got to get some supplies, especially probably medical supplies. Like sandbags and hammers. But so they built this tunnel so that people could easily go up the hill and provide these supplies. However, it got to a point where there were so many people dying and they were removing so many dead bodies that the doctors and the nurses were like, wow, this kind of looks bad. It's a bad look. You're taking people outside for fresh air. You're throwing sandbags on their chest, trying to make them feel good, trying to make them get better. And it's just got to kill the mood to see these doctors moving these dead bodies, right?
I would imagine.
So to keep the morale up at Waverly Hills Sanatorium, they used that tunnel at night to transport the dead bodies so that none of the patients there saw it.
Oh my.
So you can imagine that the tunnel is one of the most highly investigated areas of people that do go to Waverly Hills Sanatorium to do like paranormal investigation.
But like, wouldn't like the other patients like notice that like their friend vanished in the night?
Maybe they're like, they must have got better. That air must have been extra healing yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, who made the tunnels? The patients?
No.
Maybe it's good work for your lungs to lay down concrete.
No, I don't think it didn't say who made it. Probably not the patients. The air quality, right? They built it out of sandbags. Paranormal investigators call it the death tunnel, and they claim to capture voices and see dark figures during their investigations.
Oh, gosh.
So, that said, let me put a bow on the history here. I know this went long. I actually find this interesting. So, I'm sure Charlie did. I know some of you guys probably checked out. I apologize. But let's get to some of the hauntings now that we kind of tease a little bit with the death tunnel, the body chute.
I have heard of the death tunnel before. I didn't connect
it
with
it. It is the most
place.
Popular thing, in my opinion, and from what the internet seemed to be about Waverly Hills.
I didn't connect it to this place, though. I didn't realize.
Okay, hauntings time. The reason why you're here. Just as a heads up, there's a slight transition, but I will say that hauntings do kind of bleed into encounters. I do have two encounters, like two that I would call legitimate. Well, I have two encounters, but we're going to kind of break down the main things people look for. Obviously, the body chute is like one of the big dogs that people go to.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about some of the other creepy things that people talk about, people expect, and what people have said. And let me just say, it did not take long for me to research this topic before I found a ton of pictures that are really creepy.
Oh, really?
Like, so many people ghost hunt there that a lot of people have pictures. Like, pictures that, like, an iPhone, you know what I mean? Like, not like somebody took a screenshot from, like, a TV show on YouTube of something they saw. It's like, so many people have pictures from their phones of, like, shadow figures.
Yeah.
So, I'm actually going to show you a couple.
Okay, cool.
So I'm sure I'll put a couple of them up on our social media. I don't own any of them. They just exist.
Yeah, they're just
I found them
on the internet,
the interweb. But let's get some of the generalizations out there, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because there's specifics, but there's also like common types of experiences that people get and see when they go to Waverly Hills, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So here's what people claim to see: shadow figures, apparitions of patients, nurses, and doctors, moving objects, orbs and lights, intense cold spots, doors opening, locked doors unlocking themselves and opening, EVPs, disembodied screams, electronic equipment going haywire, people being touched and pushed, headaches, and nausea.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. It's like a bad infomercial like side effect.
Yeah.
So now let's get into some of the specifics, and we're going to start with Timmy.
Timmy?
Timmy. Timmy is a common spirit that's witnessed at Waverly Hills. It's a young boy.
Oh.
It's a young boy named Timmy. I don't know if there was a record of a boy.
It'd be scarier if it was like an old man.
Old man named Timmy. He just wants to play. He wants to play euchre and shuffleboard. No, but he does want to play. I don't know if there's a record of a young boy named Timmy passing or if it's just what they named this child spirit. He looks about 6 or 7, but he likes to play ball. And the way you know he's around is either you'll find the ball, a ball will come rolling towards you, or if you have a ball and you roll it, it will inexplicably start rolling back to you within seconds.
That would be the scariest thing.
Yeah. If you're like not on a slope.
Yeah.
Right. And you're just investigating. And one, if you like, let's say you're in a room, right? And there's no ball.
Yeah.
You leave, come back 20 minutes later, and the ball's there.
Yeah.
One, that's already creepy. But then, because you're investigating and you have to test these things, if you walk over, you pick up the ball and you roll it and it comes back at you, that you know without a shadow of doubt that someone else is in there with that room, in that room with you.
Yeah, that'd be scary. Or like you bring a ball in, right? It's a new ball. New $15 ball. And you just, you walk in and you throw it as far as you can. And like an hour later, it rolls back to you.
Mm.
Oh my gosh.
$15?
I don't know. It's a good ball.
It's a good ball. Very good ball. I'm not bringing a $15 ball to a dusty sanatorium.
He hasn't had a new ball in over 60 years, right?
That's true. Although there's just balls everywhere because people just keep bringing balls. He's like, guys, I'm an adult now.
My name's Timothy.
Yeah. All right. So the next person that a lot of people claim to see is called the Screaming Lady.
Not a good nickname.
No. So they're said to be an elderly screaming woman.
Just, she screams like, she's screaming like, hello, how are you doing?
She keeps tripping over balls. No, it's actually really sad. Her origin story is not known, but it's just this lady that wanders around the halls screaming. And they say that if you see her, she'll run away terrified from you, but she has her hands and legs kind of bound to like chains.
Jesus.
And very bloody.
Oh,
now,
wow.
I don't understand necessarily the origin of this because I don't know. I didn't read about any type of treatment that involved that unless she got crazy and they had to restrain her.
Yeah.
And by crazy, I mean, I feel like it's almost acceptable in with what was happening there that people would act out.
Yeah.
As they might say. I didn't read anything about anybody that had to be like, and if they were restrained, I don't think they were using chains, but it is one of the more well-known entities that are seen here. And not, it's more than just one person that have claimed to see her.
She obviously has a fear of people.
Yeah. Which if, you know, she did die because of that, I don't blame her.
That's actually really scary.
Another entity that people see is called the Shy Woman.
Not the same.
Not the same. And I can't find the picture. If I find it, I'll send it to you. But I think this is somebody, I think I saw a picture of this person, which is absolutely terrifying. Not that she herself is terrifying. It's more so the idea of her. But the Shy Woman is called the Shy Woman because you never fully see her. You never see her full body or her full face, whether it be in real life, real time, or in pictures. She simply just peeks around doors and corners. So if you happen to catch a glimpse of her, that's it. So it might be like while you're investigating, you're looking through your photos and you zoom in on a door or a corner and you see just like a little bit of a half face peeking around. Or in real time, you see someone up ahead looking around a corner. Could be the Shy Woman.
Why does that give me shivers? I don't know. I don't like that.
So this one is, I think, hands down, the scariest.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's a normal entity.
Oh.
This is said to, this guy, so to speak, is said to be a very dark and violent presence. Some people think it might actually, well, we'll get to that. He's known to crawl around on all fours, also known to climb ceilings and walls. Just people get a sense of dread.
Yeah.
Around him.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying. Some people don't think this is a human spirit.
Okay, so like elemental or demonic?
Some people think it might be demonic. Some people think it could be a grim. Which I know we haven't covered, but this one's called the Creeper. Like, that's literally what they call it. You don't want to run into the Creeper when you go to Waverly Hills.
But if there's a chance of seeing it, why? My biggest question is, why go at all? Why don't we just burn this place down?
Well, some people like paranormal investigation. We have listeners that are paranormal investigators.
That's true.
We probably have some listeners that have gone here.
Oh, wow.
Right?
I bet you're right.
Audrey, if you're listening, let us know if you've gone here. I think you have. But yeah, I mean, it's just like a risk, right? That you gotta, like, why does anybody go to any like very bad haunted place?
I don't know. I don't get it.
It's not my thing. I think that's probably the worst thing that you could run into. But also, it's not like it's secluded to a certain area. It's not like, don't go to the death tunnel or the body chute because that's where the Creeper's at. It's just he roams the halls.
Anywhere.
Yeah. The next place that is well known is the fifth floor, and more specifically, room 502.
502.
Right. So I don't know if this is true or not. Apparently, the fifth floor, for whatever reason, is where they kept the majority of mentally disturbed patients. So if you had TB and you were mentally disturbed.
Mm.
But one room in particular on the fifth floor is said to be very dark, and you're supposed to feel sadness and anguish when you walk in it, and that is room 502. And there's a backstory. This is supposedly because of a nurse that committed suicide. The story is that a doctor impregnated a nurse there because they couldn't leave. They were forced to stay there pretty much 90% of their time. Guys and girls hang out with each other, you know, one thing leads to the next. So this doctor impregnated the nurse. She wanted to be more than that, start a relationship, whatever. But the doctor was a dick, didn't want anything to do with her, and pretty much acted like she didn't exist. That absolutely devastated the nurse, and she ended up hanging herself from an exposed pipe in room 502.
Dang.
Tragic, sad, could be the most tragic example of playing hard to get, if that's what the doctor was trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people claim that the room just reeks of sorrow, and it's almost impossible to stay in there for long periods of time.
See, that's why you can't play games in love. You just gotta be straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's messed up, man.
Next is the roof, and this kind of leads into an encounter story. Don't know why, don't know how, but the roof is supposedly haunted as well. It could be because maybe they brought people up there for fresh air.
Oh, okay. All right.
Before they had the vast areas, maybe they brought people up there. I don't know why that would make it haunted. I don't think people died up there, but maybe there was a certain energy left up there because they were willing themselves to get better, right? Might not be bad energy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd
be a desperate energy, maybe.
But here's a story I found from the website True Ghost Tales. And come on, guys. True is in the name, so you know.
Is it T-R-U?
E.
Oh, okay, it's spelled correctly.
That's true. There's like, we're not liable to say these are true stories. Yeah. If it is, it's a true story.
Is it true?
Does that make it a true story? That's for you to decide. Quote, my friends and I went on the roof and just hung out thinking about the stories we heard about the place when we began to see figures moving around in the dark inside the area of the fifth floor where patients were bedded outside for air. Shadows everywhere. We began to see perfect formations of people that were not there. My friend Chris lost his cool and wanted to bolt off the place by jumping from the fifth floor roof. I said, are you nuts? We got to go back out the way we came. So after building up the courage to face whatever it was in the halls and rooms on the fifth floor and exit, we couldn't run due to the darkness and the mess that the place was in, so we held tight on our arms and entered the hall area. I wanted to shut my eyes, but I had to see where I was going. Mostly, I saw the shadows surrounding us, banging that seemed to come from everywhere, the ceiling, floors, and walls. As we entered the stairwell, we somehow ended up on the floor below us and not the ground floor. As we entered the fourth floor, our eyes were more adjusted. The moonlight reflected through the building, and we had a pretty good sight of the hall up to the point where it bent to a slight angle. It rained the night before, and due to the shape of the building and no windows left to block it out, the rain entered the building at will. On the floor were puddles of water, and we began to see bare footprints appearing out of the puddles as if someone had just walked through the puddle barefoot and left tracks. The shadows were still surrounding us in the halls. The doors to the patient's room began to slam shut. Chris, who acted like the toughest guy in the world, began to cry. As I tried to calm him down, something crashed against the wall near where we stood. When I looked to the floor, it was a brick. Someone had just hurled a brick at us and hit the wall. Chris then began to run down the hall, and we gave chase. At some point, between Chris and us, behind Chris and in front of us, two bright balls of light shot from one room across the hall into the adjacent room. We ran past the area where the light traveled to get to Chris, who stopped at the end of the hall, not knowing where to go. We calmed him a little, and it was as if someone had just shut it all off, like a light switch. There were no more shadows, no banging, no flashing light. Unquote. Not the most well-written story.
No.
But creepy. And I like some of the details in it, like the barefoot making the tracks in the water. Yeah, me
too. And the balls of light.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting, and I'm sure there's some people that have tried telling their ghost story that can attest to this. Sometimes when you're so close to a story, it's really hard. It's like knowledge sometimes. I've talked about before. But like when you're really knowledgeable about something, it can be really hard to try and explain to someone else that doesn't know what you're talking about because you just, it's so innate. It's so innate in you that it can be difficult to get your point across. Like, I don't want to say you have to dumb it down, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think sometimes when you have a personal encounter or a horror story, you leave certain contexts out because to you, it just makes sense.
Right.
Like, duh. Well, obviously there were three of us, you know, it was me, Chris, and whoever, but to us, like they were saying, we ran past the area to get to Chris. Who's we?
Yeah. You have to establish who's there.
Yeah. Like, there's certain context left out, but I think when you know the story so well, you just want to get right to the meat. Not this, not to criticize the story. That's just, that was my initial thought after reading it, but it's creepy.
Did they ever get out?
I would assume so. I think they said it was like a light switch. So when they left, like once they got out of that area, it was like calm.
It's so weird how it just like can trigger for like what, 15 minutes and then just
probably even less than that. But yeah,
just the energy, I guess maybe is used up. I don't know.
It was also the area. Maybe then once they left the area.
Yeah.
This seems incredible. This seems like theatrical intense, but you know, if that legitimately happened, I would crap my pants.
I don't know what I would do.
Cry.
Probably. I don't know.
Like Chris.
I don't know if I'd cry. I'd be unhappy.
I would be very displeased. If I was a Sim, I'd be in the red. My emotions would be very down.
Yes.
I'd be flashing. So let's move on to more encounters.
Bladder all the way up.
About to be all the way down. So I got two encounters for you, two experiences.
Okay.
One is like a bullet point from somebody who went there on a paranormal investigation.
Oh, like almost like a journal?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And the other one is more of a narrative like the one we just read.
Awesome.
I'm excited. So experience one, this came to us from SS Times/Haunted Encounters at Waverly Hills Sanatorium. So these are bullet points. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 bullet points. Bullet point one.
Saw a ghost. Bullet point two.
It was spooky. Bullet point three. Thank God I wasn't the creeper. Bullet point four. Check out my blog on sstimes.com.
Yeah.
Bullet point quote one. My team made a trek through the dark first level hallway. I was holding up the rear with a shadowy figure walking next to me. I assumed to be my teammate Doug. In what little I could make out, it was built like Doug anyway. We had our flashlights off so our eyes would adjust to the dark. We were silent, listening. Someone tripped in the group in front of me and I heard Doug up there laughing and making a comment. I switched on my light and there was no one beside me.
What? Oh my, okay, pause.
Yeah, unquote.
Can you imagine you're investigating a ghost place and then the ghost is investigating with you?
It's just creepy because I feel like it's like an almost an essence where like you can just feel that there's someone with you and you look over and you see like the outline of a person and you just assume it's who you're with.
Yeah. That's almost like a trope at this point. It's like, oh, it's like that short movie you showed me.
It's like The Goat Man.
Yes. That short movie. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, they made how a real, many people are here?
They made a real movie out of it, which was actually really excellent. I think it was on Amazon. It's like Heads Up or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Heads Up. But it's like the idea of a goat man. It's a creature that imitates one of your friends.
Yeah.
It's actually really good. We were actually writing a screenplay about that topic that when we were a production company. That's neither here nor there. But yeah, this is, that's creepy. That would really freak me out.
Yeah.
That would really freak me out.
Me too.
Like if I really, like, it was like almost, not to get personal here, remember that experience I told you when we lived together and I thought Alex was like looking in my room. Because we were going to a bingo, this event at University of Akron, and I was changing my shirt, and I thought he was peeking in my door. So I said something to him, and it was silent. And then I heard him yell from his room, which was on the way other side of the apartment. That freaked me out.
Yeah.
Okay. Bullet point two, quote, the tunnel through the hill from the hospital to the road below was originally the entrance and exit for workers. It also served to deliver supplies. It eventually graduated into the body chute, where the deceased were transported after passing in the hospital. Standing at the top, even a flashlight beam would not reach the bottom of the tunnel. While shooting a single laser beam to the bottom, it suddenly stopped upon something solid, and that something was making its way up the tunnel toward us. We could see the vague white outlines of a form. We watched as it grew closer until the form completely disappeared and the laser beam then shot down through the darkness. I don't know what that could be.
I don't know. That's weird.
You know, I've seen them. I've seen Ghost Adventures use it, like the beam.
Yeah.
Like there's one I'm thinking about where they're in the tunnels and there's like, they have like a, almost like a tycoon RC like boat.
Oh.
There was like something in the water they were trying to get, like they were trying to stir, like a creature that's sometimes in the water.
Uh-huh.
And I remember they had a laser beam go over so they could see if something went above the water or something like that. I don't know exactly. But that's what this makes me think of. But if they're doing a beam and something walks in front of it and it's going coming towards them, like,
yeah.
I have no idea what that could be.
That's really strange.
Bullet point, we'll call it three. Quote, my teammates helped me into a morgue locker at my request and left me alone. I listened to their footsteps retreating. It was quiet for a while, and then the small room seemed to come alive. I couldn't see anything but black, yet outside the locked door, I heard the sounds of shuffling feet and the clatter of things moving on a metal gurney. They stopped as my team returned to let me out.
Is it the end?
Unquote.
So, there's a line, I think, between braveness and stupidity.
And locking yourself in a mortuary.
I feel like that almost crosses that.
I wonder what the goal is, unless, because it's almost like you're trying to trick the ghost into thinking you're not there, which I guess you could argue worked for him.
Yeah.
If it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what his intent was.
I don't know. It's almost like when they lock Aaron in all those rooms in Ghost Adventures.
Yeah. Aaron, I want you to go in this room by yourself for like 4 hours. Don't even talk to me. I'm turning my phone off. Yeah. Don't text me. You get the most scared and you get the biggest reactions. So I want you to go alone.
It's like, Aaron, we want to see you cry. So
yeah.
Which, yeah, I do want to see him cry.
I give Zach a lot of shit, but I do like Ghost Adventures.
I do too.
All right. The fourth now in the final bullet point. Quote, on the fourth floor terrace, I was alone and watching a dark shadow following me from within the inner hallway. It was playing hide and seek. It would on occasion peek a dark head around the door frames. Unquote. There's your shy lady.
Oh, bro, could you imagine seeing that though? Like, would you be right again? Like, what do you do? How do you sleep again?
Ever? You leave, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be how do you sleep again?
If you knew, like, if it was like you, me, and Alex, let's just say, and me and Alex, you knew for a fact we're in a different room, and you're looking down this long hallway, and you just keep seeing this head poke out, and you knew for a fact it wasn't one of us. Like, what?
What would I do? I don't know what I would do. I don't know.
Listen, firefighters are heroes. Doctors are heroes. Ghost investigators are heroes. I'm not saying they're on the same level as doctors and I almost said lawyers. Gosh, we just watched Devil's Advocate. I'm not saying they're on the same level as doctors and firemen. They're not, no offense. But the amount of courage that it takes to do that.
Yeah, definitely a streak of Gryffindor in there.
Okay, so here is our final encounter. This one is from Portsmouth Daily Times. You ready?
Yeah.
It's a little dramatized, but that's okay. We're gonna enjoy it for what it is. Quote, on May 22nd, 2019, nine friends and myself had an overnight stay in Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Louisville, Kentucky. Interruption. I'll get to this in a little bit after this encounter, but that you can schedule a ghost tour. Like, you don't have to do an investigation. It's kind of like Mansfield Reformatory by us. Like, you and friends can go and stay there.
Mm.
Like, I think it's guided.
Okay.
But I think that's what this is. I think it's like a guided tour,
okay,
so to speak, or stay the night. I don't know. They probably spent a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the story. I'll be the first to admit it. I wasn't excited to go. I was nervous. At least a few times a week, I get scared in my office when someone says, hello? And my mom is the queen of hiding behind doors and jumping out. I do love horror films, and I've always been interested in doing an overnight stay at a haunted location. But to be honest, I was dreading it. Kind of sounds like you, Charlie. My friend Kyle James. I like how I threw the whole name in there. My friend Kyle James had booked the trip with his wife, Shannon, and happened to have two people back out at the last minute. I told him I'd asked my girlfriend, Hannah Stanford, and see if she wanted to go. She was ecstatic. She said, I've been wanting to go there for years. So guess what? We're going to the sanatorium. We arrive at the site under what's left of the daylight. I put on my brave face and I acted cool and calm. My friend Sean went as well. It was evident that he was completely skeptical, and I shared some of his opinions, like I said, but I was still pretty nervous. We took a walk around the complex, and our guide Ernie started to give us a tour of everything, and then we went inside the building. Roughly an hour in, I thought Sean had went into another room. I swore I saw him walk in there, and I went to follow him. Nope. Nobody there. We were in for a long night. Ernie took us through the different floors. The fourth floor was said to be haunted by a young boy named Timmy. He liked to roll balls on the floor, and this was apparent because other investigators had left balls, some with rattlers in them, throughout the sanatorium. The fifth floor housed room 502. This room is said to be the most haunted in the whole building. Finally, Ernie took us up to one of the operating rooms. He turns off his flashlight and he, quote, speaks to the spirits. They communicate back through turning the lights on and off. Of course, I was standing closest to the flashlight and I thought, wonderful. Now, we were skeptical of this. You know, was it a parlor trick? Was it a flashlight trick? There are other articles stating how you can fake this kind of stuff. I didn't really know if it was real or fake, but I will say others in our group used a flashlight on their own, and they were having the same results too. Regardless, it was a cool effect, but it definitely had our hearts racing. About 2 hours in, Ernie took us back to our HQ, you know, the gift shop with running electricity and water and all that stuff with snacks. But now we were on our own. Immediately, Hannah and I went back to the body chute. It sounds like what it's called. There's a tunnel that descended 500 feet that was normally used for maintenance. With deaths piling up with TB at its most extreme, the tunnel became where deceased patients were taken to try and avoid having the living patients' morale suffer as much as their health. We made our trek down to the tunnel, and the only way to explain the feeling was just complete uneasiness. Eventually, we grouped up, Hannah and me, Sean, Kyle, and Shannon, and a few others. Everyone was safe. Nope, bats. We were in a catch-22. Do we use the light to see the hallways? We do that, and in some places, bats came at our heads. I never had to dodge bats before, until that night. Looking back, it definitely added an element to our night that none of us assumed would happen. Thankfully, no one was bitten or hurt, so I can now look back and laugh about our friends for the night. Hours passed, and we took turns staying in groups, and Hannah and I started going off by ourselves. I think she was testing to see how brave I actually was. Well, I would soon fail. Ernie had told us about a spirit known as the Creeper, something that walks on all fours. Very vague of an explanation. Listen, I'm not here to try to make you believe in spirits or make you think they're all fake, but I will tell you with our group, I personally was staring at the bottom of a door and something came crawling at me. Brown and white, bigger than a dog. Still to this day, no idea what it was. I jumped probably 5 feet in the air because I thought whatever it was going to run into my feet. Immediately, I asked if anyone else saw it and no one had. I don't know what it was, but I can promise you it wasn't even midnight. So sleep deprivation, not an issue. And I saw whatever it was plain as I'm looking at the sky. I am no longer a skeptic. We finished out the night going through some of the more haunted rooms. Remember room 502, the most haunted room of all? Someone had placed baby dolls for the spirit. I believe her name was Sarah, in her room. We all took pictures of it. Later that night, one of Timmy's balls was sitting between them. No, it wasn't Ernie. I believe that everyone left there a little more curious about what could be. Was it real? What wasn't? I'm confident none of us can explain everything that happened, and that makes for a pretty interesting night. A memory I will cherish, even if I saw the Creeper and jumped higher than I ever have in my life, will be this night and my experience at Waverly Hills. Unquote. They do offer ghost hunting packages that you can look into if you're interested.
Okay.
I'm just going to read some of the general guidelines. One, access to all grounds is granted for 30 minutes before the event starts, unless other arrangements have been made. Two, loitering in the parking lot is not permitted after your event or while other events are taking place. Three, this episode is not sponsored by Waverly Hills. Just kidding. Three, service animals are the only animals allowed in the building. No pets. Four, out of respect for other customers, we request that on tours and public investigations, no lights be used or trained across the building from the parking lot. and no flash photography. 5, please watch out for wildlife when entering or exiting the property. 6, vehicles must be turned off during the event. 7, sleeping in vehicles and camping of any type is not allowed. 8, we respectfully request no infants be brought on tours or investigations. 9, Waverly Hills reserves the right to close for the safety of our customers. 10, Waverly Hills reserves the right to refuse service to anyone. They do short tours. They do 2-hour tours. You could do a 6-hour public investigation. It's pretty intense.
Yeah. Dude, can you imagine bringing, like, you have, like, a service dog. And you go on this thing with a service dog. The dog's, like, freaking out the whole time. Even though it's a well-trained service dog, just, like, it's scared of, like, the demons next to it and stuff.
It would be you with a service dog, and then your service dog would have an emotional support dog. Because it would just be so scary. So with that, let's get to the discussion. So now is the time that we like to thank our patrons, our newest patrons, and as of the recording of this podcast, which is a little funky, recording it on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Our newest patrons are Levi, Brittany, and Nick. Thank you all so much for joining our Patreon, supporting the podcast. And if you listening right now are not a member of our Patreon and you're like, what do you guys do? And you skip this part every time in every other episode, but you're listening right now. We got quizzes. We do director's cuts where Charlie and I go back and we listen to episodes and we talk over it and we think about what was happening behind the scenes, if any of our opinions on our believability ranking has changed. We watch movies together. We just watch The Devil's Advocate on Netflix where we go into a party chat and we just talk. Google Hangouts where we just literally get together, people on our Patreon, chat it up. You get ad-free episodes. Not that that's been an issue lately. You get, that was the fakest ass laugh.
It's true though. We haven't had any ads.
That is so true. Man, what else? We get a shirt. You get a t-shirt with a cool logo that you can only get if you're on Patreon.
Yeah.
Quiz. Do you believe the czar with producer Ben?
Oh, social media response.
Social media response every Monday. If you're on our Instagram and you respond to those, we respond to your responses and then give you our own responses.
It's like Inception, but responses.
Yes. We also have some cool new stuff coming up in the next few months. And I've seen people comment like, oh man, I'm almost caught up binging. What do I do now? You know, it's completely up to you. If you are looking for additional content, there's no better place than our Patreon to get that. But with that said, thank you again to Levi, Brittany, and Nick. Let's get back to the discussion. Okay, so I got 3 questions for you.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Do you have any general opinions? This is freshest in your head, and I don't want to take your mind to different areas with my questions. So I'll let you take the stage.
Right. Okay. Now. So my biggest opinion, I guess opinion, I don't know if that's right. My biggest impression is it's cool to me. Not cool. I don't know if that's the right word. It's interesting to me. No?
That's not the right word either.
Mm-mm.
Fascinating.
It's
intriguing.
Yeah. Intriguing that the spirits stay the same. Like, everyone talks about the same spirits. Now, does that lead to some kind of consistency or, like, almost like a hearsay thing? Like, did you see Timmy? Oh, yeah, I saw Timmy. I definitely saw Timmy. You know what I mean?
It has a level of, if you go to Waverly Hills, you should see this entity.
Yeah.
But it's also like the idea of, I don't want to say conformity, but like, you're when someone's doing something cool, you want to be a part of it.
Yeah. And like, I saw the creeper at Waverly.
Yep. I'm one of the people that's like, I'm part of that community now.
Yeah.
I'm someone that went there and I didn't just go. I also saw Timmy. And because of that, I'm part of, like, I'm one of you.
Yeah.
I'm
like you guys. I played with Timmy, or I saw the shy lady, or
yeah,
I saw the shackle lady who screams.
Yeah, or the creeper.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. It's like a story. Like, I'll be honest, the last story I read felt like somebody Google searched Waverly Hills Waverly. And was like, all right, I need to talk about Timmy. I need to about the creeper. Mm-hmm. I need to about the shadow. Or
it hit those points.
Yeah, it didn't hit all of them, but it, you know, it didn't have the screaming lady or anything. But it felt, but you know, it was also well researched.
Yeah.
Which is cool, I guess. But I know exactly what you mean. It's more, the more something hits everything on the nose, it does the opposite effect for me. Instead of it proving it, which is like the opposite of like scientific theory, where it's like if you test something, you limit the variables, and if you get the same result, it makes it more reliable.
Yeah.
When it comes to paranormal, I hate this about myself. When it comes to paranormal stuff, if you like hit everything on the head, it makes it seem like you're trying to not fake it. And I'm not saying the last story wasn't real. There's a lot of personality in that story. It reads real to me because they were making fun of themselves along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I know what you mean, where it almost too much on the head.
Yeah. If it seems like if you don't see these things, then what are you seeing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the first story where they like were being surrounded by and chased up by shadow figures?
That was so intense.
Yeah.
Like that was really intense. I would like to know more about that story.
So, first question that I had for you. Yeah. Is there a ghost or an encounter that's stuck out to you?
Yeah, I think that first encounter, with the one you just talked about, where the people being chased surrounded. Out. Yeah. It's a very scary, you can almost picture it, kind of like a horror movie. Just like a horror movie set, they're on top of the building, and then all of a sudden, there's a bell of music, and they're just like, ah!
Mm-hmm.
And they're like running out, and just crying and screaming.
Yeah, it felt the most unbelievable of all the stories to me. But it was on true story, whatever. True ghost story. So
that's
it must
right.
Be. So that was an encounter that stuck out to you. Was there a particular entity? Obviously, I think the creeper is the scariest, but which one sticks with you the most?
The shy lady.
Yeah. It's just the peeking.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
Yeah. Although, they all have their own special, it's creepy as hell elements. Like, Timmy, I don't want to play with you at 2 in the morning. And then the lady that sees you and screams and runs away with chains, that they have their own special kind of scared.
Yeah. It feels like Left 4 Dead, like special infected.
Yeah,
it's like exactly. The screamer is the screamer lady. The creeper, I don't even know. If you see that thing coming at you,
So is it described as a human that crawls or an animal that crawls?
See, that's what's interesting. Is the guy kind of made it seem like a dog.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be a person. That some people it make it feel like demonic or like a grim or something. Dude, it's supposed to be it's humanistic.
So it makes me think of one particular scene in Ghost Adventures in their intro. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's a girl, isn't it?
No, it's like a black figure crawling.
No, I've seen it a million times, but I can't picture it in my head right now.
Okay. That's what makes me think of a guy in like a black morph suit crawling on the ceiling or something.
It's creepy. So this isn't necessarily having to do with the paranormal aspects of it, but what are your thoughts about the doctor's treatments?
I think that's totally unnecessary for tuberculosis to do electroshock and to put weighted sandbag. I think that's stupid.
It's so crazy because it feels like when you get that like bad scientist vibe where it's like it makes me wonder, like I try to believe that they were actually trying to help them. And I think it was just like when you're so desperate that you do stupid stuff. Now, operating and like removing ribs and stuff, that feels like too much. Electroshock therapy seems like too much. But like, I don't know. It's like, I don't want it to be painted in a negative light. Like, I want to actually believe they were trying to help them and not just like, it's kind of like the sad, like when they test a rat with like products, like, you know, if you're buying shampoo or something.
Yeah.
And they test it on an animal to see how it reacts. So you're like, I'm sacrificing the well-being of this animal for the greater good. Like, I don't know if that's the kind of shit they were trying.
I don't know. I guess so. I barely trust doctors now. So
that's true. You do hate going to the doctors. Okay, so I think this question will kind of lead us into more of the rating discussion here. So think back to when we did the haunted hospital, the one the listener submission did. We had a discussion during that episode where it's kind of like, why wouldn't it be haunted?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like, instead of starting in the middle or the bottom, instead of like, prove to me that this place is haunted, I feel like there's certain locations where it's almost like, prove to me it's not haunted. Like, why wouldn't this place be haunted? So I'm going to kind of flip that for this discussion with the Waverly Hills Sanatorium. What would make you say that this place is not haunted? Unless you're incredibly skeptical, then I think we're coming from different angles. But for me, it would be looking at it as like, okay, it totally makes sense why this place would be haunted. What seems skeptical about it?
Okay. If it wasn't haunted.
And I'm not, you can say not true. Like, I'm not, you don't have to take the angle that it's not haunted. I'm just saying, like, what, like, where would you even begin to have that idea?
I'm almost too far into thinking that it is haunted to come up with a reason.
But that's the thing. It's like, I think I guess the only thing I would think of is kind of what we already touched on was like some of the stuff is too by the book with like the encounters.
Absolutely.
Like, oh yeah, they have the body shoot where you see shadow figures. There's a screaming lady. There's the creeper. There's Timmy. Like, the like, you know what I mean? It feels.
Are there stories outside of those things?
Yeah. I mean, the first story.
There's also so much, too.
First story just had shadow figures.
Yeah. There's also so much, like, on top. Like, all the stuff that you list that people commonly see. Doors locking, unlocking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the general stuff. So people, like, there's probably tons of investigators that go that experience little things like that. They might not see, like, the boss fights with Timmy and the creeper. But it just feels like so much, I mean, so much death.
Yes.
So much energy in terms of spent hope, like people probably hoping. Praying, hoping.
Desperation.
Yeah. To one, to get better, and two, hoping that your treatments make them get better.
Yeah. And TB is not an easy disease. That's not something.
No.
It's really intense.
So I feel like from the energy standpoint, it checks off. Two, I mean, if let's say on the low end, the lowest number I saw was 6,000. Let's say 6,000 people did die there.
I mean, 6,000 people.
Still 6,000 people. Creepy factor, like you throw in like the treatments, the body shoot. I mean, they were wheeling people like wheelbarrow, like wheeling people out. Yeah. Like,
and was it a mass grave?
I don't know where the bodies went. I don't know. But also, so it already has the, it has the characteristics of what you would expect from a haunted location.
Yeah.
And then you add in, let's not even count like the big ones like the creeper and the shy lady. But so many paranormal investigators have gone there and have caught shadow figures, doors opening, doors closing. It just feels like a perfectly wrapped haunted location.
Yeah, it does.
I'll go first. I don't mind because I buy into this 100%. I'm not saying every story we talked about today is real, but I do believe this place is haunted. I give it a believable.
Do you think that there's an appreciation there for the doctors, though, from the patients? I know there's those crazy experiments, but do you think that people appreciate that the doctors are trying to help them?
I don't know, because it would have to go to awareness. Like, you and me today know that those were some really archaic treatments they were doing, but those spirits might still think that those doctors were trying the best. The only way would be to have been there, because
that's true.
We hear now and it sounds sadistic, but if you were there, you might have seen that they were really caring, really crying, you know, trying. They might have cried themselves to sleep, these doctors. They were probably exhausted.
Working but, so many hours.
But at the same time, we also weren't there, and maybe the doctors could care less. It was a paycheck.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to try to do this to a person. I'm going to use you as an example. Not saying that that's the case. I'm not trying to put that out there on any doctor. But we weren't there, so it's really hard to tell if it's, like, if there's a spirit there that died.
Yeah.
If it was like, damn these doctors, they didn't do anything to help me, or I died, but these people tried their best to save me. I don't know.
I don't know either. And you can't know, really, unless you were there. I believe it's haunted. Whether or not the big spirits are there, whatever. I think the fact that so many people that died there died so traumatically and so many terrible things happened, I think, regardless, it's haunted.
Right. And even if one person saw these things, like one person saw the creeper and then that story started getting used.
Yeah.
Even if I think one person saw that there is pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's definitely haunted. To what degree? I don't know. But two believables on the board. So that is our episode on the Waverly Hills Sanatorium. Again, if anybody who listens to us has ghosts hunted there, let us know if you saw any of the big ones. Let us know if you saw doors shut. Let us know if you brought your own ball or if their gift shop sells balls that you could go there for $15 and play with Timmy.
Just says Timmy on it.
Timmy loves balls. Man, it's been a minute, like we said, since we've done a haunted location. It's like, I love it because it's like Ohio University where there's so much stories behind it. You get the history of the place in actuality,
yeah,
and you get the haunted history, and there's always like unique characteristics of different entities. There's always a room. Don't go in that room. And then there's like different ghosts. I don't know. It's creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy. Would you go there? Would you go to investigate?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go there.
Will we ever do a live... God, I'm losing my voice because of this coffee. I don't know if I can do coffee during this anymore. I was going to say, would we ever do a live episode there? But we would go there and talk about something else.
Yeah.
We're here at Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Talking about Indiana State Sanatorium.
Yeah, we're talking about Barney and Betty. That's random. But yeah, so two believables. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get involved in the community outside of Patreon, we do have a Discord.
That's true. We have a Discord that we talk about a plethora of things.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of things.
What's interesting is that you got a chocolate milk and I was expecting you to be very mucusy, but I'm drinking this coffee. My voice is shot.
That's because you need a water as well.
I do need a water. You need
several beverages.
That's true. You have three over there. I'm jealous. Yeah, I have 33% as many drinks as you do. Statistically speaking.
And if you knew about Waverly Sanatorium and you found us just through Googling, just like, oh, I wanted to hear more about it, I hope you liked what we talked about. And if you do, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify or any other kind of platform that you can do that on, because we appreciate that.
Also, if you want some BTB merch, we got hoodies, we got t-shirts, we got tank tops, we got mugs, we got, what are these called? Tapestries.
Specialty cocktails.
Specialty.cocktails, that's correct. We don't actually have that, but you can do that in your mug. But go to believeinbizarre.com, do shop merch, check out what we got out there. Some new stuff coming soon, but you know, that's down the road. But anyway, thank you everybody so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast as bizarre as you are.